Dorothea there with Theodore. Dorothea, top of the right circle, reels it in, hands it off. Carlson shoots off the post and home! William Carlson, long post and in for a power play goal!
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
Shoots, kick save, Fleury. Rebound loose, a shot, and no! It goes through Fleury for a goal!
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Chris Chapman, we've been with you for a month or so. Live inside the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studios. Findlay Chevrolet on the 215, home of the...
Woo!
It's our last show. Well, to be fair, I didn't read the schedule that Doug sent out. So, like, this is a freebie for you guys. Our last show was supposed to be yesterday, but I have a major issue with math and understanding how to read schedules. So we're here. Doug made it all happen behind the scenes, and we are here for you just as we said we would be. Final show until September. 702-876-1340. That's the number. 702-876-1340. We know that you've got questions. We might have some answers, but more or less, we want to check in with you. Before we go on hiatus, we want to check in with you and see where you're at right now with the Vegas Golden Knights, what you're looking forward to next season, what questions you have. This is your opportunity, your final opportunity before we get into next season to have your say. 702-876-1340. Phone lines are open right now. Pick up the phone. We'd like to talk to you. We've got Ash with Sam and Ash Law joining us at around 4:45 or so. Danny Webster, he'll come on around 5 o'clock. We'll talk a little Golden Knights stuff with Danny as well. There's news and notes from around the National Hockey League. That's an hour number two. And then the final catching up with Chapman of the season. 702-876-1340, answering your questions. Let's go to the phone lines. Bring in Mike. Hey, Mike, how you doing?
Well, gentlemen, thank you for opening the phone lines one final time. It is most appreciated. I hope you guys have a great summer, and we have a lot of soul-searching to do during that two-month period. Let me not talk specifically about names so much, because that's going to be brought up by a lot of people, I think, in the next hour or so. One name I want to invoke, though, is Kelly McCrimmon.
Mm-hmm.
And Kelly McCrimmon has proven time and time again that he is going to succeed. And he'll succeed if, again, hopefully, he's made the right moves. Four times he's been to the Final Four, and no general manager has been to the Final Four more often in 7 years in any four major sports than Kelly.
Mm-hmm.
Having said that, I'm going to ask you one question and one question only, gentlemen.
Okay.
And that is with regard to raising the Stanley Cup. You raise it in June, and everybody has a different path in which to get there. The Blues took one path, Tampa Bay took another, and so on. What I want to avoid in 24-5 is being one of the mediocre 21st best teams in hockey, which is what they were from November 4th until the playoffs. They were the 21st best team in the NHL.
Mm-hmm.
I want to avoid that next season. So I want your guys' opinion on how to do that. I appreciate it. Have a great summer, guys.
All right. Thanks, Mike, for
you
the call.
Too, Mike.
How do you avoid the drop-off that Vegas had in the back half of last season? I mean, I think the simplest answer, the easiest answer that I can give you, the one that I think holds the most weight when it comes to this team, is health, right? Like, I think health is going to be the big factor for the Golden Knights going into next season, as it was the year that they won the Stanley Cup, they weren't healthy down the stretch, but they got healthier down the stretch. And then they got really healthy in the playoffs, and they didn't miss any games. They didn't have key players missing games. And so what I think you're after, what I think you're looking for, what I think you're hoping for in this scenario, Mike, is that you're hoping this team is healthy throughout the entirety of an 82-game season. What I think you're hoping for is that younger players, the likes of Pavel Dorofeev, I think you can throw in Victor Olofsson, you can throw in Alexander Holtz, you can throw in Brendan Brisson. Younger players pushing through give you a little bit more balance and potentially a little bit more health. And if that's the case, I think the Golden Knights will be okay going out through the entirety of next season. And not to mention the fact you've got more or less eight NHL defensemen. So I don't want to use the term load management, but you should be able to manage minutes a little bit easier on the blue line. You have two goaltenders in Aiden Hill and Ilya Samsonov that I think you're pretty confident in, no matter who's in net. I think you need health. That's going to be the big factor for me.
Well, here's why I don't like picking an arbitrary date and saying from this date forward.
Yeah.
What were they from game one to game 82? That's
they were a playoff team.
Yes. Yeah. So they were one of the 16 best teams in the league.
What were they over the first 20 games of the year?
They were the best team in the league.
Yeah.
When you select a specific date, and I don't know what day Shea Theodore went on IR. I don't know how many games Mark Stone missed in those dates. I don't know how many games Aiden Hill was out. Like, Petrangelo missed a bunch of games at the end of the season due to the appendectomy. Like, you can't pick an arbitrary date and say, oh, well, from this day to this day, they were the – I understand what you're saying, but there's so much more that goes into it than just if all things are equal and they had a completely healthy full roster, you might have a point.
Yeah.
But the reality is in those dates that you selected, they had a ton of key players missing. I mean, William Karlsson missed time. Jack Eichel missed time.
And I will say this, when you start to think about it a little bit differently or from a different point of view, I understand down the stretch the seeding went against the Golden Knights and they got a really tough first-round matchup. But you were looking at a first round against either Edmonton, the team that went to the Stanley Cup final, or Dallas, the team that Edmonton beat in the Western Conference final to get to the Stanley Cup final. What your record indicates you are down the stretch doesn't have a ton of bearing on what you do when the playoffs start. All of that gets reset. So that's just kind of the other way to look at it. 702-876-1340. That's the number, 702-876-1340. We have lines open right now. Let's go to the phone lines. Bring in Rita. Hey, Rita, how you doing?
I'm doing fine. First, before I have my little rant, I want to say going to miss you and Chappie. Can't wait till all three of you are back. But you guys have a good summer.
Well, thanks, Rita.
And
thank
now
you.
For the rant.
Okay.
Bring it.
Okay.
Hold on. The delay's not on.
No, it is.
Oh, the delay's on?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. I don't know
that
hey, no,
listen,
that.
I've been good. I've been trying. I catch myself. And you know, there's been a few times that it would have been right to use it. It's been a good few years here. Anyway, let's talk about the Marchessault thing because we got to. First off, what did he do for us? He did a lot. And that last year going to the Stanley Cup final, he got 43 goals or whatever. He got a Conn Smythe. He was a heart and soul good. He was there. He excited. He got people going. Mm-hmm. Now, what did Kelly McCrimmon in the front office do for him? They picked him up when his team left him out to dry in the expansion draft. Mm-hmm. They got him a second overall pick to dish him those 43 goals. And they gave up another beloved person to get that for him. He did not win that all by himself, the Conn Smythe. It's a team, and that team, we had defense that made sure they didn't get more goals than we did. It was a two-way street. Quit picking on either side. I do believe this is what Marcy wanted in the end. Now, I know I've got a few people on here that don't agree. That's fine. Nobody's going to agree, and nobody's going to know the whole truth because both sides kind of put a spin on it to make themselves not look quite as bad. But it's done with. And for those that are saying already we're going to miss the playoffs, shut the hell up. We're not missing anything. Nobody knows. It is July 2nd. And every one of you every year says that. And 9 times out of 10, you've been wrong. Get over yourself. Anyway, you guys have a really good summer. Love you and going to miss you.
Thanks so much, Rita. We love you too. Wow. Fantastic rant. I think you said a lot of really important things. Number one, Jonathan Marchessault, for the time that he was here with the Vegas Golden Knights, was a heartbeat, for sure. Mark Stone's a heartbeat. William Karlsson's a heartbeat. Jack Eichel, since he was acquired, is a heartbeat. And so you still have players like that that fit the mold. However, the point of what did Kelly McCrimmon do for Jonathan Marchessault in bringing him in the expansion draft and putting him into a spot to succeed and finding a way to keep him around and help deliver a championship. I think that's a great point. Like, both sides, Marchessault, the Vegas Golden Knights, got what they were hoping for out of that arrangement. It was a Stanley Cup, right? Jonathan Marchessault gets a Stanley Cup. The Vegas Golden Knights get a Stanley Cup. And you have your numbers that indicate when it's time to move on from a player. Jonathan Marchessault has his opportunity to cash in after a career year. I don't begrudge either side whatsoever. 702-876-1340. That's the number. We'll bring in Stephanie. Hey, Stephanie, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys doing?
Fantastic.
Good.
So, kind of like everybody else, I just wanted to say thank you guys so much for the whole season, for the postseason, always bringing us coverage. And, of course, that extends to everybody behind the scenes, too, like Bobby, Kevin. He solves some major problems for us. So I hope everybody that is involved with the show
Solving major problems for a strip casino, by the way.
Yeah, good on Kevin. Oh. Yes. He parlayed his appearance on the VGK Insider Show
into a job at a strip casino.
To get a cushy job on the strip. Yes. Way to go, Kevin.
Well, congrats, Kevin. You guys will have to try and get him on as a guest.
You could still hear him in the Truck U commercials, though. What? You don't have to curse at me. Yeah. So,
Like I said, everybody who is involved in this show, thank you guys so much for bringing it to us.
Don't forget Jared.
Jared, even though I know he gets a little weird about it, Jared does a great job, especially when he has to fill in for you, Chappie. So couldn't ask for a better group of people to bring this to us. I kind of was going to say a lot of what Rita said. Mm-hmm. I'm not really mad at anybody. Like, I pretty clearly, Marcy was my super favorite player. I still think he's a great player. I hope, wish him the best in Nashville. I don't begrudge McCrimmon for looking out for what's best for the team as a whole and not for individual players. And I don't begrudge Marchessault for, you know, going out and getting the biggest payday that he could. You know, he has a family to think about, and McCrimmon has a team to think about. Like, it is what it is. Everybody has to do what they think is best for themselves. And, you know, similar to all of our other free agents that we lost, I wish them nothing but the best. I don't have any, like, hard feelings about players wanting to go get paid. And anybody that does, like, ask yourself if you are really going to be that loyal when you could make, like, especially like Chandler Stephenson's case, mm-hmm. There's no way he was getting paid anywhere near that much for that long here in Vegas. Like, would you turn that down? You wouldn't.
I wouldn't. I'm telling you right now, if somebody walked up to me and said, I'm going to give you 7 years at $6.25 million, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's just the reality of it. Like, we have to remember they're not, you know, just hockey players. They're people, and they got to look out for their financial future, for their kids, for everything. So, you know, good on them for going and getting their payday and, you know, just looking forward to a good year next year. I don't think we're in shambles like some people are talking about because we still have some great top-end talent. We've got Eichel, we've got Hurdle, we've got Stone, we've got Petrangelo. Like, we're not, you know, playerless, right? We have some very solid players that'll be there in the lineup, and we've got a lot of young talent that they're hopefully going to bring up. So,
all right, great stuff, Stephanie. Thanks for the call. I think Chapman had something to say on that.
Yeah, I just want to speak on Stephanie's call and Rita. Like, this is why I think our fan base deserves a lot more credit than they get around the league. Like, you go on social media, you see fans of other organizations like crapping all over Vegas fans, which is ridiculous because we have some very good, knowledgeable fans. And Reed and Stephanie get it. Like, there doesn't have to be a bad guy here.
Right.
Like, you don't have to play hero and villain. Like, in the case of Marchessault, it was the best thing for him and his family. And in the opinion of Kelly McCrimmon, it was the best move for the Golden Knights. Like I said earlier today on Twitter, this team does not think instant gratification.
Mm-mm.
They play the long game. They found themselves at times going for instant gratification, and they've learned. You play the long game, and you know next year is next year. But you start to look ahead, and you're like, wow, there's a lot of money coming off the books next year, and there's some big time potential UFAs next year. So like, if these guys parlay not signing Marchessault this year into something incredible next year, you can't begrudge them. Like, you have to – like, I asked the question, at what point does Kelly McCrimmon get the benefit of the doubt from the fan base? Because you would
think after a Stanley Cup.
It's 380 days ago he brought you a Stanley Cup.
Yep.
In 6 years as an organization. So give the guy some slack.
Yeah, I'm with you there. And I think that your point on Stephanie and Rita and their calls are – it's well taken. 702-876-1340, that's the number. We're opening up the phone lines. Final VGK Insider Show of the season. We will be back with you in September. Let's go back out to the phone lines, bring in Marlene. Marlene is not there. Okay, we'll go to Lou. We're going to pivot and go to Lou. Hey, Lou, how you doing?
Hey, Ryan, I'm good, man. How are you guys?
Oh, fantastic, buddy.
Hey, you know, I just wanted to make a comment about the weeping, wailing, and gnashing of teeth that I guess it goes on every year about this time in this town, and probably every other town too. But for all the people that are upset about, you know, March still getting away and some of the other moves that have been made, some of the people that have left, the roster as it stands right now, if this was year one and this was the current roster that we have today was the year one roster, how many people would be upset about it?
I mean, I don't think anybody would. You've got Jack Eichel and Mark Stone and Tomas Hertl and Alex Pietrangelo and Noah Hanifin. Like, those five guys right there are all-star caliber players.
Exactly. And so, you know, there's players we're going to miss. I mean, but, you know, everybody was upset about Marc-Andre Fleury. Then we won the Cup, and you don't hear that anymore.
Yeah, yep,
somebody
away.
What MAF stands for, and it could be my Aunt Flo at this point. That's how much they care about Marc-Andre Fleury now. So get over it, folks. Nobody wanted to see March still leave. No, I didn't want to see Carrier leave. He was my guy. But you look at this roster, and you're like, yeah, you know what? I'm okay with this.
Yeah, I can't disagree at all. I mean, that's the thing. Like, and Stephanie brought up Chandler Stephenson.
Mm-hmm.
Like, good for him. Like, this was a guy who was almost out of the league.
Here's my thing with Stephenson, and we talked about it on Monday, but I'm going to bring it up again, and it's worth repeating here while we're talking to Papa Lou. Chandler Stephenson has never scored 20 goals in a season in the National Hockey League, and he's going to make $6.25 million over 7 years. If you're looking at that and saying, why didn't the Golden Knights do it? I don't know what to tell you. That is not a smart decision from a contract perspective for this team. I understand why Seattle did it. I get that wholeheartedly. Yeah. I do. But it's a great payday for Chandler Stephenson. It is not feasible for this team chasing Stanley Cups. It's just not.
Yeah, I agree. And when I saw that contract in particular,
yeah,
I was like, whoa, okay. And much like what you said, Ryan, you know, good for you, man. But If McCrimmon had given him that contract, I'd have been like, man, you really overpaid for this one. And I still, and even with Marchessault, I mean, man, I can't imagine. What, and I'll bring up Marc-Andre Fleury again, and the way that contract looked a few years into it. I think Marchessault would have been the same way, because I don't think in 3 years he's going to be producing the way that he has the last couple. And I hate to say that, but he just, you're getting older. You're going to be 37 years old in 3 years. Is it still going to be worth five and a half a season at that point?
Yeah, I mean, like, what are you looking for if you're paying a guy $5.5 million? 25 goals? 30 goals? Thereabouts?
Yeah, that's what you certainly hope for, absolutely.
And the question becomes, in 5 years, is Jonathan Marchessault going to be a perennial 25-goal guy at 38 years old? I don't know.
No, I don't think he may not be in three. And I hate to say that. I like the guy. I enjoyed watching him, but you have to be realistic about these things.
Well, and that's it. Like, you just nailed it, Lou. Like, the worst thing for the fans would be to see Jonathan Marchessault on a five-year deal struggling to score 12, 13 goals a year. Mm-hmm. Like, to me, you want to remember Conn Smythe, Marchie. You want to remember 42 goals this season, Marchie. Your lasting memory of Jonathan Marchessault does not want to be a guy who is scoring 12 or 13 goals on the third line.
Or getting healthy scratched in year five of his deal.
Right, yeah. Or being bought out. Mm-hmm. Like, you don't want that.
What's on the summer agenda for you, Lou?
You know, since I live at the beach, I'm going to go to the beach, but in California, heading up to good old Carpinteria for a week, and then actually going to come back and visit Vegas for a couple weeks. I'm glad that you guys are getting to go on break, but kind of wish the show was still going and you were doing a remote somewhere so I could come by and say hi. But
only if you're bringing some of those Baja shrimp with you.
Oh, you know what's funny, hey Chris, I'll pass it on to you, man. I've got the most killer shrimp taco recipe. I'll fire it off to you. But I actually had shrimp tacos last night and made here at home.
Hey, listen, if shrimp tacos are involved, you just tell me the time and the place and I'll show up. I'm telling you right now.
Right on.
Have a good break
and man, we'll miss you guys, but looking forward to gearing back up again when the season starts up.
All right, man, thanks.
Love it. There's Papa Lou, a fantastic caller. He's one of our favorites for sure. 702-876-1340, that's the number. Taking your phone calls as it pertains to the Vegas Golden Knights, final show of the season, and we'll go out to the phone lines again, bring in Fernando. Hey, Fernando, how you doing?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I just want to say I want to thank you guys there at the station for everything you guys do, and I can't wait to see the tribute videos coming up for the season.
You got a lot of them.
Oh, yes. It's going to be fun, and it's going to be a little bit of tears, so I better take my tissue just in case. Like Rita said, you know, we're going to be in the playoffs. We'll never be in last place. I know that for sure. And I like the roster moves, and I can't wait to see see the new team coming up. And the other thing was just thinking 3 years in 2027 will be the 10-year reunion of the 2017 team. Mm-hmm. Instead of 2017 team. Just 3 years away. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's wild, and you've got a Stanley Cup already. What does that say about an organization, huh?
Yeah, we're doing great, and once again, you guys stay healthy, stay cool, stay hydrated, and go Knights, go.
All right, great stuff, Fernando. Thanks so much. We appreciate it. You know, I threw it out to the text line too, Chappie, to just throw in some questions, comments, if you had them. I know calling on the radio can be a little scary.
It's a little daunting, yeah.
It's a little intimidating at times. This one's from Mark.
Uh-oh. I see the smile on your face.
It's good. No, it's good. Like, I like the comment. It's fine. Petrangelo for Marner. Who says no, in quotes? Probably Mitch Marner because he's got a no-move clause. And probably Alex Petrangelo because he's got a no-move clause. Who says no? Probably both players.
Everybody, yeah.
I think everybody involved says no.
I'd like to be privy to that conversation between those two guys. Alec, look, we know you're from that part of the country, that part of the world. We're going to send you home. You're going to play for the Leafs. Nah, I'm good. Mitch, no state tax. You'll be in Vegas. You get to play with Jack Eichel. No, I could see Mitch Marner saying,
"Well, yeah, like listen, if you're Alex Petrangelo,
you're not saying no. You're
like,
not going. Yeah, you're not. You're Alex Petrangelo is not going to play for Toronto.
How would you feel about playing for Toronto? You're going to make less money on average per year because of the tax breakdown.
Yeah,
and
you're going to be cold.
You'll be farther away from winning.
Yeah,
and that speaks to another kind of common theme that I've seen throughout the text line, Robert." Throws out how many points do they get if they don't add any other players, and then throws a number bracket of 60 to 70 points. This team's not going to miss the playoffs next year. Like, I understand that we are valuing Jonathan Marchessault, the 42-goal guy. And like, I recognize that when everyone's thinking about next year, they're saying, oh my gosh, how are you going to replace 42 goals from Jonathan Marchessault? Thinking that if you just sign Jonathan Marchessault, you're going to get 42 goals out of him. It's the first time he's ever scored 40 in a season.
Yeah.
So the expectation that you have on Marchessault, the player, going out there and scoring 42 again next year is misguided.
Well, yeah. I mean, and a perfect example of that is William Karlsson.
Mm-hmm.
He scored 43 goals, and he really hasn't been close since. I mean, he's broken 20 a couple times.
No, the closest he got was last year. He scored 30.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know that it's, like, easy to point to the losses of Marchessault and Stevenson and say, how are you going to do it? But to me, and I've talked about this quite a bit, I think the bigger losses for this team are guys like Will Carrier,
yeah,
and Michael Amadio.
Yeah. But I think you can make the case that you've upgraded, at least offensively, from Michael Amadio and Alexander Holtz.
Well, I mean, Alexander Holtz last year scored more goals than Michael Amadio did.
Yeah.
Now, right?
you give up a little bit defensively.
Hold on. Let me tell you this. Alexander Holtz scored the exact same number of goals Chandler Stevenson scored last year.
Yeah.
So in that regard, I think a lot of people are looking at this and saying, where's the offense going to come from? Firmly, I believe you're going to get some motivated players in Olofsson, who's reunited with Jack Eichel, who is a power play specialist, who knows how to do one thing on the power play, and that's rip pucks.
Score goals.
He's going to shoot.
Yeah.
And what is the thing that we talk about all the time with the Golden Knights in the power play?
Shoot!
Who's going to shoot?
Shoot!
And further to the point, when it comes to Chandler Stevenson, when it comes to Jonathan Marchessault, do those guys rip one-timers on the power play? They don't. And so I think your power play is going to improve. You're going to get more goals in that situation. And then beyond that, I think that you are banking on the pedigree of a guy like Alexander Holtz to go out there and find another gear offensively. And who's to say the Golden Knights are done? I don't have any inside information. I don't know if there's anything cooking in the background, behind the scenes, whatever. But if there's one thing I know about this organization, if there's one thing I know about this front office, if there is an avenue to make the team better, if there is an avenue to make this team a contender, to push them closer and closer and closer to a Stanley Cup, they will exercise that avenue and make the team better. Because the goal isn't to make the playoffs and lose in the first round. The goal isn't to, you know, be an 8 seed. The goal is simply to win championships every single year. And you need some luck in that. You need health to go your way. You need things to break in the right direction. But what you also need is a front office who is steadfast in doing whatever they can to make their team better. And as a fan, that's all you can ask for. We're going to take a break. Come back with more next on the VGK Insider Show. VGK Insider Show. Chris Chapman, you're a beauty.
I try.
Okay, so...
By the way... I broke a rule.
Mm-hmm.
I said something I would never, ever, ever do on this show.
Yep.
And I did it.
That was play Celine Dion?
Well, not necessarily Celine Dion, but
just that song?
Particular song.
Okay. You've watched the movie, right? Titanic?
Yes. Okay. Begrudgedly, yes. I watched.
What do you mean begrudgedly?
It was terrible.
It's a fine movie.
It was a terrible movie.
In what way was that terrible?
Because it was just... It wasn't for me. I'm more of a historical guy. And,
sure.
And, you know, if I'm going to watch a movie called Titanic, I want there to be some actual facts. I mean, other than the ship hitting an iceberg
and yeah, it sank. That's okay, pretty
well,
factual.
I mean.
What facts are they missing there?
It was just the made up love story and. You know, there's that whole thing.
James Cameron literally went to the bottom
I get
of the
that.
Ocean
That's great
and found
for him.
The Titanic.
Cool for
How
him.
How much more factual do you want him to be?
Like, what bugs me is there was room on the piece of debris.
That's what I was going to ask you.
Absolutely. She let him die.
How in the world can Rose say she's never going to let go and then let go?
Let go. She let go.
Immediately.
It's crap.
I'm with you. I'm not going to sit here and like... say the movie is crap because of factual issues, but very easily Rose could have saved Jack.
I just didn't like it. It just to me it was
You're mad that Jack died.
Well, yes, but to me the movie was fine. It just isn't as good as everyone says it is. Like, it won so many Academy Awards, and I'm like, it's not as good as Casablanca. It's not as good as, like, Maltese Falcon. It's not even as good as, like, Empire Strikes Back.
Well, Empire Strikes Back is a perfect movie.
Yeah, it ends on such a down note.
It is a perfect movie. I don't care what anybody says.
It's like reality.
Yeah.
Guess what? It's life sucks sometimes.
Yeah. It's like, thank goodness there's a third movie.
Yes.
Well, actually, the sixth movie.
Yeah, well, Which stunk, the third movie.
You know, it's...
Parts of it.
No, it didn't.
It was okay. It was fine. But the beginning of the third movie was awesome.
Yeah, I mean, Luke... The whole
barge scene.
New in the Force becomes an absolute weapon. Who would have seen that coming?
And then the best part is Boba Fett really didn't die.
Yeah. That happens a lot in Star Wars. People that you think die don't.
Like, I thought for sure, like, oh, man. And you had to wait, like, 35 years to find out that Boba Fett didn't die. It's, like, fantastic.
It's like with Darth Maul. You knew, like, 10 years later that he didn't die. He just, like, became an animatronic spider. It's awesome.
Pop back up.
It's wild. I'm a big Star Wars guy. You're wearing a Star Wars shirt. It's a mashup between Star Wars and the Beatles.
Yes, Abbey Road.
Yeah, I like it. It's good.
It's got some stormtroopers, Vader.
Darth Vader.
Yeah. Have you watched Acolyte yet?
I have.
I've been waiting.
What do you mean waiting?
Well, because now I could watch them all simultaneously.
It's not done yet.
Oh.
There's two more weeks.
Okay. So by the time I get started, there'll be one more week.
Yeah.
And it'll probably take me a week to catch up, so.
So I'm not going to spoil anything for you.
Yeah.
The fifth episode is awesome.
Okay.
I mean, like, it's awesome, awesome stuff. Last night was okay.
Okay.
Not as action-packed. Like, the sixth episode was not as action-packed as the fifth episode. But what I love about Acolyte is that it's essentially playing into the thing that I have the biggest issue with when it comes to Star Wars. The Jedi aren't good people. Like, you laugh. I'm being honest here.
I mean, you know what's funny? I watched the third episode. Well, not the third episode of Acolyte, but third episode of the trilogy.
Mm-hmm.
And Mace Windu, he really screwed up.
He was ready to break the Jedi code right there.
Yeah.
In front of Anakin.
Yes.
What do you want Anakin to do?
And no wonder Anakin turned.
Like,
you took this code.
Exactly. And here's the biggest thing for me when it comes to Star Wars, Jedi, all of that. Like, the idea that the Jedi don't crave power is the biggest crock of you know what I've ever heard. The Jedi crave power just like the Sith do. They're just not honest about it.
Yeah, the Sith, they tell you straight up. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then how about Luke? You know what? I'm just going to go on some island and I'm tired. I'm done.
Yeah. No, I screwed everything up.
Yeah, I'm done.
I'm just going to go away.
Yeah. I'll let you guys deal with my mistakes.
Well, I mean, to be fair, he learned it from Yoda.
That's
every single Padawan of Yoda failed. Every single one.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Every single one went to the dark side. What does that tell you about your
Yoda.
Methods? Oh. Your methods don't work. The Jedi are not the innocents in all of this.
No.
And the Acolyte does a really good job of portraying that. And I haven't gotten everything. Like, I still don't know how the story ends. I don't know what the big reveal is going to be. There is going to be one. I will tell you that the dark side user in this series is awesome.
Okay.
I mean, awesome. It is a great performance. It really does make you feel like you want to give in to the dark side.
Yeah.
Because the principles, literally the guiding principles, aren't so much revenge and anger and hatred. It's freedom. And when you think of it from that perspective, and I know I didn't expect to go this deep on Star Wars, but when you think about it from this perspective, the Sith are actually the most honest people in the galaxy.
Well, yeah, because they don't.
They're not messing around.
They don't lie to you. They tell you exactly what they're going to do to you.
Exactly.
Deal with it. It's pretty wild.
There's a cool droid in the Acolyte.
It's called
Pip. I like the droids. I'm a big droid guy.
Nice.
Like R2-D2, BB-8, give me all of that. Totally fine. I love episodes 1 through 3, but that's kind of what I grew up on.
Yeah.
I love the original trilogy. Again,
which is what I grew up on.
For sure.
Yeah.
And even in time, and I'll say this, and I don't care, Mrs. Wallace is a big Kylo Ren fan.
I've got some of those in my family, too.
Yeah, big Kylo Ren fan. Yeah. I don't get it.
In my case, my cousin, who is a big Kylo Ren fan,
yeah,
she finds him attractive.
Sure.
So that has a long way to go. And I'm like, yeah, but he killed his father. Like, in cold blood.
Hmm?
There's nothing likable about that.
Well, no, but it was a test. And, like, the cool thing about Kylo Ren is that he's the inverse of Anakin Skywalker.
Yeah.
Right? Like, Anakin Skywalker was a good person, flawed as he was, with dark side tendencies. Ben Solo was, like, fighting off the good side. Like, he's just a bad dude.
Yeah.
But he keeps getting these pushes of, like, no, Ben, be a good person. Like, your dad's Han Solo. What's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You can't be mad at that. He's Han Solo in the space world, and he's Indiana Jones in the regular world. Like, yeah. You can't be mad at that.
And he was the president of the United States in another world.
Your mom's Leia. Like, what are you doing? Why are you mad? What do you have to be mad for?
Man, when you think about it, like, Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
That guy has, like, he's done it all. I mean, I remember it was an adult when I finally watched American Graffiti.
Mm-hmm.
He was a badass in that movie.
So I've got a text here on the text line from my daughter.
Oh, no.
She says, the studies on the door. They did studies on the door. They were not both going to float.
I'm glad your kids listen.
Fish around for another door then.
Yeah.
It's like, the love of your life. What are you doing?
You mean to tell me you couldn't find like a life vest floating in the water?
Anything.
Yeah. I mean, there's thousands of dead people floating around. Grab something.
And then this is a text, and we're going to end this segment on this. Because, to be frank, like, I'm glad we were talking about this and not the thing we had scheduled. But
yeah.
James says, the Acolyte is a perfect example of how out of touch with the Force the Jedi actually are. And I agree with that. 100%. And it's because they're out of touch that they crave the power, and it paints the Jedi in a more realistic light. They are not good people. They are not good people. And I will stand by that take for as long as I live. The Sith, the dark side, that's where it's at. Take a break. Come back with Ash from Sam and Ash Law and the Legal Minute next on the VGK Insider Show.
It's time for the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash on the VGK Insider Show.
It's the Legal Minute with Sam and Ash. If you're in a crash, call Sam and Ash, 702-303-0333, or go to samandashlaw.com. Joining us, as she does every Wednesday, is Ash Watkins from Sam and Ash. Hey, Ash, how you doing? Ash, can you hear me?
She's not talking.
Oh, no. Technical difficulties, Chapman.
Yeah, she was there. She was talking to us. I'm not sure what happened, but I'll try
can
to get her back up.
Oh, there she is. We've got Ash.
All right. Ugh. All right.
Fantastic.
Technology doesn't stand a chance against us, guys.
So, speaking of technology, and that's a great segue into kind of the first topic, obviously, over the course of the weekend, Friday and Saturday, the NHL draft was here in Las Vegas at the Sphere. It was my first time in the building. It's wild. It's unbelievable. From that perspective, and there's been some talk in the National Hockey League of decentralizing the draft so that it's a little bit easier on some of the front offices to get all their work and deals done. When you see an event like that and the success that the NHL had over the weekend, kind of makes you wonder, shouldn't this be where it's at every year? Because it was stunning and a great introduction to the league for those young men that were drafted.
Absolutely, guys. I think this is one of those situations where I think if we hosted it and the NHL agreed with the Sphere to do it for a certain amount of years, it would be in the interest of everyone involved. They know where it's happening, mm-hmm. where it's going. And it's also one of those venues that is absolutely stunning. It acknowledges all of the team success, all of the player success, and it's a really exciting experience for everyone. I kind of watching and hearing the reactions of some of this year's draftees was fun. It reminded me of, like, you know, when you graduate high school and then your school makes all of these incredible changes to the facilities and you're like, oh, why didn't they do that when I was there?
Yeah.
Like, these draft prospects and draftees got the best experience. So I'm incredibly jealous on everyone else's behalf.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm with you. And then when you look at the success of the draft and what they were able to do with the video boards and the entire experience, is there maybe a live sporting event or a live broadcast that you can envision that you want to see so badly from the Sphere?
Ooh, maybe like diving? I don't know. I mean, there's always these like difficulties with, like, I know everyone is talking about doing UFC or boxing, and I think maybe those are the safest sports to do it in that kind of venue. Whereas, you know, like with hockey and baseball and basketball, there's a lot that goes into the eye of the player. Like, what is the player seeing? You know, and in baseball stadiums, there's always that segment of the outfield that is blocked off because they want to make sure that the batters have the best vision when they're up to bat. You know, in basketball, they're also trying to make sure that the shooters have a good, solid vision when they're looking at the hoop. So I don't know. I think maybe this is a great venue for concerts, for interesting award ceremonies, drafts, things of that nature. I'm not sure how it translates to live sporting events other than maybe boxing or UFC.
You know, I have seen pictures from people who've seen the dead show in there. Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know how I would not get motion sickness watching some of that stuff. Like, what I did not know about the Sphere is there's a lot of obstructed view seating in there. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a great venue, but like, where me and Ryan were seated, like, we couldn't see a lot. Like, we could see the stage, but we could only see like a quarter of the screen. But other than that, like, you go down on the floor and you look up at the ceiling while all this is going, and I'm like, oh my God, like, this is incredible. But like, my initial thoughts is this might be a venue where being higher up is better.
100%.
100%. I agree with you, Chapman. I think it's one of those venues that's designed for the anomaly of it all. I mean, the science behind creating the imagery and the videos to go on these LED boards that wrap around you. I mean, it's wild. And I've heard that too, that like, look, the obstructed views, they exist. If you're on the floor, there's some views that are covered by the level above you. And so you've got to be very smart. If you truly care about your holistic entire view of what's going on, do your research. And sometimes, most often, in this venue, the 300s or the top tier of the seating away from the stage is actually the best view.
I want to see Pink Floyd there, like David Gilmour.
Oh, I'm Coldplay.
Dude.
I think Coldplay
There you go.
Like, I think Coldplay would absolutely kill it. This is a venue that was designed for them.
Yeah, I agree with that 100%. Chapman, when it comes to David Gilmour, Pink Floyd, like, I'm with you there. I think Coldplay would be phenomenal. Not to shift gears too hard here, but we're going to have to, because this is a topic that I think is important and one that we need to get into. The NHL on Monday, in the middle of one of the craziest openings to free agency, dropped a little bit of news. In the middle of all of it, you can call it a news dump, that's what I'm going to call it. They lifted their ban on Joel Quenneville, Stan Bowman, and Al McIsaac, three prominent players in the sexual assault case brought forth by Kyle Beach, referencing Brad Aldrich and what he did in 2010 as video coach of the Chicago Blackhawks. And it was the response, or lack thereof, from Quenneville and McIsaac and Bowman in the immediate aftermath that led to their ban over the last 2.5 years. They have been reinstated. They can find work now starting July 10th in the National Hockey League. And I guess my biggest issue with this is simply that after this information came through to Quenneville and Bowman and McIsaac, they helped facilitate another job for Brad Aldrich, where he allegedly assaulted a minor. And so when you think of it from that perspective, what could they have possibly done over the last 2.5 years to prove that they're in a position to be reinstated and be counted on to be the heads of organizations, or in Quinville's case, the head of a bench of a National Hockey League team?
Great questions. I mean, honestly, this is one of those situations that our society is dealing with day in and day out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we're evolving and we're learning and we're understanding what's acceptable and what's not. And you know, I mean, we saw this with Penn State and their football program and individuals trying to manage claims, what they saw, what they didn't see. And so my understanding of what's gone on is that these individuals, based on their failure to report, failure to act on what they saw while they were in positions of power, they were removed and they were banned from the NHL for an indefinite period. Mm-hmm. Since then, it's come to light that, you know, that at least they've done their due diligence and they've taken a lot of steps to try and get back into the NHL's good graces. They've spoken with the victim. They've spoken with Beach. They've spoken with other people involved in positive change in the NHL, various groups, et cetera. And they're acknowledging the shifting tides of these issues. And what those exact things might be, I can't tell you guys. I mean, but it sounds like, look, we're evolving as a society. We've never claimed to be perfect, but mm-hmm. all we claim to do is learn from our mistakes and get better. And so what I'm hoping is that the NHL has seen true change in these three individuals, and they're going to work toward goals that actually represent what the organization stands for in 2024 and beyond. And that's a hard thing, and that's going to be the NHL that's going to have to own that. And will they get lateral moves? I don't think so. But I'm glad to see that they haven't been entirely banned indefinitely for this.
Yeah, I mean, listen, you can make mistakes and you can grow from it and you can get a second opportunity, a second chance, but you have to have the receipts that you've done the work. And I guess I don't want to say, does the NHL owe it, or does Joel Quenneville owe it, or Stan Bowman? Do they owe it to the fan bases, right? Like, let's just say, mm-hmm. for the sake of argument, Stan Bowman has been linked to the Edmonton Oilers. Does Stan Bowman owe it to the fans of whichever team hires him, same with Joel Quenneville, to be transparent in the work that they have done to get themselves to this point?
Well, I think if those organizations demand the receipts, then he will have them to show mm-hmm. it. I mean, I think right now these individuals have gone to the NHL and said, hey, we've done all of this work, which you and we're documenting and we're showing you and you've seen and we've engaged in. So unban us. Mm-hmm. And the NHL said, yeah, we see everything you've done. So we agree. After July, I think it's 10th, you're able to engage in contracts with NHL teams again. And if those teams want more details, absolutely. If those fan bases want more details and the organizations want to give it, by all means, I agree. Give those receipts up. I mean, you see this all over mm-hmm. in professional sports, like Deshaun Watson. He was at the Texans in the NFL, and he was getting into all of the issues with the massage therapists, and then he gets traded to the Browns, and the Browns fan base went crazy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they did their whatever they had to do, whether it was a statement, due diligence, to appease their fan bases. And so we're going to see the same thing with the NHL, but honestly, this is the NHL to live with and move forward.
Yeah, that's great stuff, excellent stuff. And obviously not a ton of, you know, legality stuff here with you on this, but it's an important topic nonetheless, especially when it comes to the National Hockey League. Now, if there's somebody out there listening right now that has a question, a legal matter, or let's say they were in a crash, they need to call Sam and Ash. How do they get in touch with you?
Yeah, absolutely. If they have any questions, even over this holiday weekend, 702-820-1234 is the best way to get a hold of us. SamandAshLaw.com. We have email, chat, etc. You can call us through there. Even if it's not a crash, if it's even like what we're talking about, sexual assault, mm-hmm. issues in the workplace, give us a call. happy to answer questions. There's a lot of nuance there, and we understand that.
All right. Great stuff, as always, Ash. Enjoy the rest of your week, and we'll chat with you in a little bit.
Absolutely. Thanks, guys. Have a great one.
That is Ash Watkins with Sam and Ash. If you're in a crash, call Sam and Ash 702-303-0333 or go to samandashlaw.com. Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show is coming up next.